Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, good evening. I hope that everybody's had a good week so far. It's definitely been a beautiful week as far as weather's concerned. No rain, you know. It's Pastor Bonnie was mowing our yard, and she had to mow through the mud still. But we received such an amazing word from Pastor Stewart this last Sunday. And that was what a blessing that he is to our church. You know, the whole DeVries family just pours into us. I mean, from the dad. Actually, from the granddad all the way down, you know, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see the young ones on how they minister to the body, how they go out and they run, you know, in front of the pastor's way and protect him, look after him. You know, but the things that Pastor Stewart talked about on Sunday, he finished the series that Pastor Spencer had started on Daily Devoted. The final message was on serving. He spoke on threefold message on serving. And serving is so important. Servant leadership is imperative. And not only in the church, but when you go out into the community. Whenever you show servant leadership, people don't even have to know that you're a Christian. They're going to see that you're a Christian. He spoke on serving God, which is very important. He spoke on serving others, each other, which is also so important to help to build the body. If we don't serve each other, we're going to get weak. Whenever we need help, we need to have the freedom to know that we can reach out and ask for it. And then, of course, serving the world. And in serving the world, you know, one of the things he talked about was how to be able to let the world know that we're a Christian without them knowing that we're a Christian. And the way that we do that is by selfless service. Pastor Stewart cited one of my favorite verses, Mark 10, 43 through 45. It says, yet it shall not be not so with you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life's ransom for many. You know, and that's so important to be able to understand that our Savior came to serve us. I mean, how amazing is that? Show me another king out there. Show me another person that's what they do every day. You know, every once in a while, some of the leaders out there, they hiccup and they do it once, you know, or maybe twice. But on a daily basis, it's very difficult to find a leader that does that. Before I go any further, I think it'd be an error not to acknowledge the shooting at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis. And that's such a tragedy. And, you know, it's a tragedy not just because it was at a church, but because the youth were victims. The two that died were young children. And it's sad that a mom and dad now no longer have their children with them. It's difficult. You know, but Minneapolis wasn't the only place that shootings went on. They went on across this nation. And that's why we have to be a light. That's why we have to do and serve the community. That's why we have to be out there showing God's love in all that we do. Before I go any, one of the things that I want to talk about is Brother Dell, before prayer last night, talked about how important it is to have discipline. And the discipline begins at home with mom and dad. If we don't have a strong parent, we're not going to have a strong child. We're going to have a child that can run loose, run crazy, and bring tragedy. You know, and that's the sad thing. I don't want to get into you know, the details on the Minneapolis thing, but the one thing I can tell you is there was not a strong home. I know that just from what the news has said. And Dale talked about that last night, and it was such a blessing for the way that he started us off, you know, with the prayer that he had, to be able to prepare our hearts, to be able to go into a season of prayer last night. I am blessed once again to be allowed to speak to you. It is an honor to be able to present this message that I believe that God has laid on my heart and how God ties all things together. I mean, it was when I was listening to Pastor Stewart on Sunday, I was going, this dude read my message, you know, because it's so amazing how service ties into what I'm going to be talking about. I believe that I've been given permission to teach tonight about honor. 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 What is honor? According to the word you receive on the world, you receive honor according to what you do. You know, it depends on if you're a sports figure or if you happen to be a singer or if you develop some type of app or you develop an electric car. Oh, I mean, how amazing is that? You can't enter eternity without an electric car, you know. No, it's the honor that we present, the world presents, I should say, are fleeting. The honors that the world present are ones that are going to come in with a quick breeze and they're going to leave at sunset. You know, they're not eternal. They're not going to help us to be able to become a better Christian. And that's one of the things that we need to understand is that in honor, we need to know that God wants us to honor each other. Honor comes from God. And it's going to be apparent more as we go on. Excessive, what is honor? Our biblical definition. No, honor is the ability to be able to reach out to people because of who they are. Not because of what they are, but because of who they are. And it's so important for us to be able to show that love, that sunshine, to be able to give it. One of the things that you have to be worried about with earthly honor is pride. Pride jumps up, and what is pride going to do to you? It's going to kill, steal, and destroy. Pride is shallow. The layman definition of pride, it says, pride is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. Ooh. The achievement of those with whom one is closely associated with or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Once again, the cars, the clothes that you wear, you know, the things, the places that you go to eat. You know, I mean, we always give Pastor Jeff, you know, the hardest time whenever we're on the road, you know, because talking about a man of simple taste, that's Pastor Jeff, you know. You know, it's an honor to watch him, to be able to see how he does, you know. And the sad thing is the biblical definition of pride doesn't bear well either. The biblical definition is excessive self-love, arrogance, or inflated view of one's own ability, status, or importance, which elevates oneself above God and others. You don't want pride in your life. You don't want pride. However, there's a difference between pride and being proud. Whenever we're proud, let me back up a second. Pride causes a person to rely on themselves rather than God's grace and is a wall between him and wisdom and truth. Jesus tells us in Matthew 23:12, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted. Humility is so important for us to be of a humble spirit, not a prideful spirit. Now, there are two differences between being pride and being proud. The key difference between the two lies in the source and the direction of those feelings. You can be proud of what others have accomplished. Parents can be proud of their children, their grandchildren, and the truly blessed can be proud of their great-grandchildren. I don't know anybody in today's world that has great-great-grandchildren. You know, I know that my great-grandfather passed on way before I even thought about it. I met my grandfather, and my grandfather was an amazing man. Both of my grandfathers, both on my mother's side and my father's side. My father's father, my grandfather from Gramps, served in World War II. An amazing man. He was one of my boy's heroes. Just a man of humility. He invited me one time to the Navy birthday ball for the Fleet Reserve Association up in Groton, Connecticut. And he asked me, he said, "Do you have your dinner dress?" Well, of course I had my dinner dress because I was at the Senior List Academy at the time. And that was one of the requirements, that we do a dining in. And when you do a dining in, you're in your full dress uniform. So I'm in the hotel room with Gramps, and he starts crying. My grandfather. I mean, it gets me still today. My grandfather started crying, and he says, "Lauren, I am nowhere near the father that you are." And I said, "Gramps, no, you're a father of your time." You know, and that's the thing, is that as we have learned more, we've become better fathers. And that's so important, because we want to be better fathers so that our children can be better parents. You know, and we can't look back and say this is wrong because how they did it. I can't remember one time of my father saying "I love you." You know, and that's sad. And I know that he did. But I also know that he was a man of his time. And, you know, that's one of the things that I try to teach my children, is how important it is to honor their mother. One of the biggest things that I have strived to do is to make sure that she is always protected whenever they are in her presence, that they're always looking up to her. And they're always taking care of her. And I try to make sure that they reach out to her on simple days like Mother's Day, you know, her birthday. I try to make sure that they do, and they do that. And the reason why is because they honor her. And that's so important for us to be able to teach our children. One of the things I'll tell you is, if you never go visit your parents, don't expect your children to come visit you. And that's one of the failings that we had. But that's actually one of the things that my dad taught me. Every Sunday, after I would get home from church — now I was the only one in the family that went to church — but when I would get home, we'd drive from Selma to Clanton, 42.7 miles to my grandfather's house. We'd get there every Sunday. And then Pa, my mother's father, would take us for a ride, and we'd all go get ice cream. So it was always awesome to be able to go see Pa, you know, because he got ice cream. And, of course, you learn something. And that's one of the things that's so important in our society today, is when we separate ourselves from the elders, we quit learning. You know, and we're going to set ourselves up for failure whenever we quit learning. Honor has no place in pride. And that is so true. No worldly honor is worth anyone's soul. Jesus tells us in Mark 8:36, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Seeking worldly honor is shallow and given by man. Following God's word is the only true path. David tells us in Psalms 12:6, "The words of the Lord are pure, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Now, why do you think that he put that in there, purified a seven times? Because numbers mean a lot in the Bible. And seven times is the number of perfection. And that's the reason why he said that it was purified seven times, because silver is something that when you, the more you put it through the furnace, the purer it gets. And seven times you have 90, what we call 99.9% silver. You can never get rid of all the other trace elements in it, but it's pure. This just emphasizes that there is nothing trivial, lacking of worth, and that all of God's word is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training. And Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy 3:16. I know that you guys know that because pastors got, I think, like five sermons that he's used that verse, because I always write down the date next to the verse whenever a pastor gives a message. Nevertheless, the teaching of man will be separated from God's truth, as dross is during that refining process of silver. However, the scriptures are totally free from all error. They're totally free from any harmful teachings. They're fully pure in God's word. They're not man's word. Yes, there are 66 books out there. Yes, there are many people that wrote those books. But who gave them the inspiration to write those words? God did. Man didn't come up with it out of his own ideas. Because if they did, they wouldn't stand the test of time. And they stand the test of time because God wrote them. In a biblical context, honor encompasses reverence, respect, and recognition of your worth or value. Biblical honor has its roots in one's relationship with God. It is rooted in humility. With humility, honor is given to you. Daniel is an amazing example of this. We could read the story of Daniel interpreting the words that God wrote on the wall after Belshazzar's feast, where he used the gold vessels that they had taken captive when they captured Jerusalem. And he said, hey, let's use these gold vessels for a party. Well, God was not very happy. And that's the reason why God wrote on the wall. And he wrote the message on there, and Belshazzar had all of his wise men come in to try to tell him what these words were. None of them could tell him. And the reason why is because they weren't of God. So they said, hey, we know this guy named Daniel. I think he can tell you what's going on. And so he called Daniel in and gave it. Daniel interpreted the words for him. I'm not going to go into that. That's a whole different message. But Daniel interpreted him. And guess what? Belshazzar kept his word and gave honor to Daniel. Well, how long would the honor that Belshazzar gave to David last? It would have lasted less than 24 hours, because guess what? After Daniel gave him the interpretation, he was killed that night. So not even 24 hours later, that honor that he bestowed upon him would have been gone. However, in Daniel 6:7, then this Daniel distinguished himself above all the governors and satraps, because of excellent spirits was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. That was Darius. And he continued the honor that Belshazzar had given to Daniel because of Daniel's character, because of Daniel being a man of God. That's the reason why it was continued. You don't have to seek honor. It's given to you. As a son or a daughter of our Lord, you have a higher calling. No matter what you do, remember to use your talents, excel in the job that you have, prosper in the gifts that God has given to you, and do all that you do in a sense of pride? No. In a sense of humility. Do it all in a sense of humility, showing God's love in everything that we do. Honor will cover you and keep you focused on your walk with God. And that's so important for us to be able to realize, is that whenever we obey God's word, we're going to continue to receive the honor that he wants us to have. Honor is doing what is right, even when everyone else is telling you that it's wrong. You know, that's an old saying, wrong is wrong, even when everyone tells you it's right, and right is right, even when everyone tells you it's wrong. The world is good for that. The church tries to go with right is right, even when everyone is telling you wrong. In John 14:21, Jesus tells his disciples a way of honoring him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's so important. He says that whenever we do that, that he's going to manifest himself to him. It's so important for us to realize that. Honor is taking the decision that you make to and to weigh them against what we have learned because we have studied what the love message that God has given us and hidden in our hearts. That's why it's so important to go back to what Pastor Spencer was talking about, reading the word daily, daily devotion. Whenever you read the word daily, you can hide it in your heart. When you pick it up once a month, every 6 months, you decide to read the Bible as a New Year's resolution. And we all know what happens to New Year's resolutions. You know, they last until the next day. But whenever we read the word and we hide it in our heart, we're going to be able to understand why he wants us to do honor. Honor cannot be doubted, even when we do not immediately understand the truth. Honor is what we give those that deserve honor. The Lord speaks to Moses in Leviticus 19:32. And this is actually the whole word started on this verse when Pastor asked me to speak. And this verse came to me. It says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." Now, I didn't come up with this verse because I'm an old man. I came up with this verse because it's so important. God laid this on my heart because it's so important for us to honor the elders in our church. We need to, whenever we have functions, we need to be able to allow them to go first. Whenever we have things going on, we need to allow them to have first. I know that we love our children, and I know that we want our children to do and to have privileges. But guess what? The people that deserve to have privileges whenever we have things are the elders. Let the elders go first. And one of the reasons why is that some of the elders, none of the people sitting here, you guys aren't elders, you know, can get tripped up, can fall. And we don't want that. You know, and it was so funny. We had some people over at our house just the other day, and they asked if the reason why that we didn't have the picnic at our place this year was they were afraid that we got sued from last year. Because the year before, someone sat on one of my picnic tables and been sitting outside, and the bench broke, and they fell down. Well, no, we didn't get sued. That's not the reason why we had it. But we had it because we wanted to honor the elder. We wanted to have stable ground for people to walk on. And that's so important. You know, our places, you got hills and roots and all that kind of stuff to be able to trip on. And you don't have very many bathrooms there either. We got one bathroom downstairs. So, you know, it's just a way of honoring the elders is put it in a place that is more accessible to them. And it makes it pleasing for everybody. The Hebrew word for honor in Leviticus 19 is hadar. And it's funny. Hadar is spelled H-A-G-A-R. But it's pronounced hadar. You know, the reason why that's important is I looked up I said, where does the word honor comes from? Where do you think the Google came up with? The Greek word. I said, no. I know this word was written way before the Greeks were writing anything. So I had to go into what is the Hebrew word for honor. And it's important. Whenever you're reading the Bible, you can't just put the first thing, if you're looking for help, you can't just put the first thing that Google comes up with. You have to understand the text and the context of what's going on. When honor is shown or given to those that are older than you are, not because they are perfect, but because the position that God has placed on them. And fear your God, I am Lord. He's telling us to do that. You know, it's not a suggestion. He's telling us to do that. This is both a kingdom posture and a principle of divine order. We're instructed to fear your God by honoring men and women who have borne his image to old age. In Psalms 71:18, David is beseeching God. Now also when I am old and gray-haired, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. I don't know if you know the story of Moses. Hopefully you do. But Moses was as strong the day that he died as he was when he was a younger man. When he went up the mountain, we don't know where his grave is because God buried him. God said, come here. And Moses obeyed him. He honored him because, trust me, Moses had some gray hair. Moses had some gray beard, you know, but he had the strength of God because he honored God. And that's so important for us to be able to realize that. He, David, continues and tells us in Psalm 92, 12 through 14. Oops, I'll read mine. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And I knew that Pastor Bonnie would like that because we love palm trees. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And the cedars in Lebanon were some of the most magnificent, flawless cedars that God had created. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. God wants us to honor the gray-headed members. He wants honor and respect to follow in their path and for us to seek wisdom and counsel from them. It's so important for us to be able to not to put off someone because they're old. That's today's society. Today's society thinks that old people should be tucked away. They should be put out of sight, you know, because they'll slow you down.
Oh, look at Grandpa over there. He don't even know how to hit a phone, you know. What's he doing? Come here, let me show you,
you know. But no, it's important for us to be able to honor them because I guess what? They know a whole lot more than about cell phones. You know, it's amazing. If you want to know how to take down a tree, ask Brother Dale. If you want to know how to cook awesome food, we have many cooks in here. You know, many people that know how to do that. Did they learn that from, you know, a recipe card? No. But guess what? Recipe cards are good, too, because they're handed down wisdom. You know, and I was just looking today in our house, and we have the Ward's Cookbook. And it's a bunch of recipes that the family has put together that have been handed down. And there's a lot of goodness in that cookbook. King Solomon tells us in Proverbs 16:31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. That last part is important. I know that I'm emphasizing about old people, but we also have to understand that we don't have to be bullied by older people. Because some of the older people, I hate to say this, are cantankerous. I mean, if you know what that word means, you know, that means they're obstinate, you know, and we don't want that. We don't want that in our life. So if they're righteousness, we honor them. In the days when King Solomon wrote this, there were no nursing homes. There was no Social Security. There was no retirement homes. All these things were merged into one place, the home. All these places were merged into the home. And today's society, people pick and choose if they see their elderly family members. I know some people that were at the home, Wills Creek. retirement center that had been there for 3 years and nobody in their family had ever gone to visit them. That's sad. That's sad. You know, and that family's missing out on so much by not going and visiting grandma or grandpa or whoever happened to be there. Additionally, without the multi-generational representation, we can miss out on this blessing in church. Without having a well-blended family here in church, we can miss out on a whole lot of knowledge, a whole lot of wisdom, and a whole lot of experience that God has given them. You know, it's important for us to be able to honor that. One of the blessings we had is at Strong Men's, we get to invite different men to come in and talk. And when Brother Kevin came in and gave us a talk, what a blessing that was. What a strong, strong message that was. And guess what? We would be poor in spirit if it hadn't have been for the wisdom that that gray-haired old man over there has. Are honor and respect, are they the same thing? While honor does indeed encompass respect, esteem, and valuing somebody, honor is a kingdom posture, while respect is earned through external actions. Honor is an internal attitude which relates to a person's overall value and worth. Respect is often based on our inner assessment of someone's character or achievement. Respect is earned, honor is given. Respect means to esteem, have regard, admire, or claim their accomplishments. Respect is to give credit, marvel at, and revere a person. They are all external conditions and can change on the next news cycle or a chance encounter. You might have the respect for an individual, and then you see them in a manner that goes contrary to the position of the reason that you respected them. I know I'm going to give an old example. So some of us in here will know this example, and some of us won't. But there used to be a baseball player named Pete Rose. Pete Rose was a very talented baseball player. I mean, he was an MVP in over 17 different games. He has the longest continuous hitting streak of any player that's ever played baseball. But guess what? He lost the respect of the people out there. And the reason why is that while he was a manager player, he betted on the own team that he was playing on. And the league kicked him out permanently. Permanently. And that's so that respect was fleeting. You know, because guess what? 23 years, that's not a long time. I mean, as Pastor Bonnie said, we've known each other for 45. You know, that's an amazing blessing that I have. You might not respect a person, their ideas or their expectations. However, if they've been placed in a position of authority, biblically, they deserve honor. Paul tells us in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And I know the pastors told us that before too. Why does Paul tell us this? He is echoing what Jesus tells us in Matthew 22:21. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. A random thought came to me while I was doing this, while I was preparing this message. I was given the mini message or message in the message. When you're talking with someone, give them your full attention. Put that cell phone down. When you go out to dinner with your spouse, put that cell phone down. Whenever you're out with other people, focus on them. Focus on what they're saying and listen. Listen before you do what? Before you speak. You know? Because it's not, conversation is not a combat game. It's not who can speak first when the first breath is taken, you know? But no, listen. Let the person and honor them by listening to them. It's so important for us to be able to do that. And the reason why, it shows them that you truly value them as a person. You truly honor them as an individual. You truly lift them up and you value their opinions. That is so important in honoring. Jesus tells us, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets, Matthew 7:12. He continues on, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. You have to be careful. Man's ways are the easy ways. God's ways are the eternal ways. So what do you want? You want fleeting or do you want eternity? So that's what you should always look at whenever you're trying to figure out what path you're going to follow. Whenever we ignore the rule of law, self-gratification takes the place of honor. And the concept of me first takes place. Let elders go first. Open a door for an elder. Offer your seat to them. And rising up when they enter into the room, what a concept. You know, it's I went out to dinner with a friend of mine, and when his wife left to go to the bathroom, both of us stood up. And Mel was going, what are you doing? I says, I'm doing it for the same reason that you are. I'm honoring your wife. She deserves that honor. And when she came back, both of us stood up again. And it was so funny. People in the restaurant were looking at us like we were weird. You know, what are you guys doing? Aerobic eating or something, you know? No, we're honoring, you know, the person that was with us. When you do something just because you're following rules, it's not an honor. It's legalism. When you want to do something, it needs to come from your heart. That's where God gives you love. And whenever we love people, we want to honor them. Build that love muscle. It's the only problem with not using paper. Okay, so do to others as you want others to do to you. That is the attitude and the presence that elders are called to exhibit. You know, as an elder, you have responsibilities too. You're not just there to sit there and take it. You're there to give it. And that's so important for us to realize is that if we don't give, we're not going to receive. So if all you come is with an expectation of receiving, guess what? You're not going to. You're going to make yourself an outcast. There to be the standard, their example is to be our standard. They're to be the standard in accordance with God's grace and peace. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. Malice here means as strong as possible. Put those things away as strongly as you can. Have that spirit of love. Have that spirit of cheerfulness. Have that spirit of God's character. Be a quencher of bitterness. Turn aside wrath. Bring love to soothe anger and replace evil speaking. Just as Paul continues in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Paul's final words are key. Even as God in Christ forgave you. There's nothing that anybody does to us that's worth holding on to. Because whenever you hold on to it, that breeds bitterness. And bitterness takes away God's love. And whenever you lose God's love, the enemy comes in. And he is just waiting for you to act like that. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and this is so important, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave that gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. If you have a spirit that says, oops, I forgave something, And please, I'm asking you, don't use that phone. Literally, it says to go to your brother. Because whenever you go to somebody, they see your face. They see your sincerity. They see the love that you have for them. Whenever they're on a phone, you're guessing. I mean, you're waiting. Is that the wrong variation of my voice? You know, whatever. But whenever you're there in person, that's why he says, go. Now, granted, they didn't have cell phones back then. So, but I guarantee you, he wouldn't have said, pick up the phone and call him. I guarantee you that. So, honoring the elderly is an essential part of growing the body and following the direction that God has set before us. It is not easy, not all the time. Should we try? Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. God promised us in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Seek to honor those whom God tells us to honor, and honor is the key building blocks in our lives. Thank you for listening tonight. And if you have any questions about this, please come up to me afterwards, after we close. I love you. May God's grace cover you. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to share your word. Hopefully this word has been pure, absolute, and complete. May it be lasting, valuable, and worthy of your attention. We accept your words as holy and full of wisdom. May it be profitable for teaching, training, and righteousness, and help us to remain faithful to read your word daily. Pray daily. Worship daily. And serve each other daily. Excuse me. Allow us to have opportunity to share you and your words with others. Help us to be a light in our community, our city, or wherever we are, and whenever we're there. Please keep your hand on the families that were affected by the senseless violence today. Please let your peace be with us. Shalom, shalom. May your light so shine through us, and may your refined purity be evident to all those we meet. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your word. Now please receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine down on you. May his honor be our honor. And may his love wash all over you. Amen.